Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Christian author and speaker, Troy Black. We're praying that, as you listen, God will reveal His love, grace, and truth to you in a deeper way. After listening, don't forget to connect with Troy on YouTube and Facebook. May this message from Troy inspire you in your walk with Christ.
Hey y'all, this is Troy Black. So today I want to talk about three signs that God is about to bless you. And you probably noticed if you've seen my other videos that I've got a new setup going today. I just threw together a quick little YouTube studio that's hopefully going to help me be able to shoot videos more often. So I've got my plant right here that you can't see in the shot that my wife brought into here to bring some life to my office. I've got the stack of all the books I've read in my life. So obviously I need to read more books. But I'm going to get right into the three points. So the three signs that God is about to bless you. Number one is that you are seeking God with your whole heart. So I'm going to read a couple verses from 2 Chronicles. It's 2 Chronicles 31, 20 through 21. And it says, "Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good, right and true before the Lord his God. Every work which he began in the service of the house of God, in law and in commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered." So King Hezekiah, just so you have a little backstory here, has just finished going throughout all of Judah and sending out this proclamation that they were going to begin to seek the Lord. And then he's begun to make all these changes, like tearing down the false idols or the false altars to other gods, and then also rebuilding the temple of God. And so now this statement is made about Hezekiah that not only has he recommitted the nation, you know, as he is the king, so he's recommitted the nation to God through what the nation is doing, but he's also recommitted and he's committed his heart to God fully. And it actually says that that he was seeking his God, and that because of this, God prospered him. God actually blessed him and blessed everything that he put his hands to. And I believe the reason the Bible includes this phrase, letting us know that Hezekiah was actually seeking after God, was so that we would know that all these things he was doing wasn't just lip service. You know, the Bible, God wanted us to know in this passage that Hezekiah had the right motives behind what he was doing. So what does it mean to actually seek after God with our whole hearts? And here's the best answer I can give you. It means to seek after God until you find him, no matter what that means, no matter what it means for your life, no matter what it means that you're going to find. I've heard comments from so many people, and I've said this in my own life, who have sought after God for a long time for something. And when they didn't get that thing they were seeking him for, they got disappointed and they stopped seeking him. And I honestly believe that's a sign that we're not actually seeking him with our whole hearts. I want to read you another verse, and it's Hebrews 11, 6, and it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So what this verse is telling us is that even though God's rewards for his people don't always look the way we want them to, and they don't always come at the time that we want them to, God is still worth seeking. He is still a rewarder of those who seek him. And I can testify to this in my own life. If there's anything you get from this video, please get this. The years that I've spent seeking after God and before that not seeking after God and seeking after other things, I can honestly say with all of my heart, God is worth seeking after. He's worth finding. So I actually want to show you a video that I took years ago of my second daughter, Iona. And this is when she was really young. My wife, Leslie, had taken the other kids out of the house, and I was left there alone with Iona, and I was watching her by myself. And I actually, after dinner, I gave her a bowl of ice cream, which she didn't get every day. And so she was super excited about it. And so watch the video real quick, and then I'll tell you why I'm showing it to you.
Iona, who do you love? Who do you love?
Daddy.
Daddy? Do you love Mommy? Who else? Who else do you love? You love Mommy? Who else do you love? Daddy, do you love Mirabelle? And who else? Daddy, do you love Granddad? And Nana? Who else? Daddy, do you love Gigi and Big Daddy? Who else do you love?
So this is one of my favorite videos of Iona, and in this video, I'm asking Iona, who do you love? You know, like I'm asking her, do you love this person? Do you love that person? But she keeps going back to I love daddy. She keeps saying daddy, daddy, you know? And at the time, I thought it was so funny and hilarious, and it just warmed my heart to hear it. But I knew, even though she's saying, I love daddy, I knew the reason she was saying it, and the reason she kept coming back to me was because I was the one who had just given her a bowl of ice cream. You know, normally she didn't respond that way. If I asked her that same question, she would have said, I love mommy, or she would have said a whole, you know, a myriad of answers. But in that moment, because I had given her ice cream, she just kept saying, ooh, I love daddy, I love daddy. Which is hilarious to think about, you know, a little girl saying that. But at the same time, I believe we do the same thing with God. You know, we start to seek God instead of based on the truth of his word or based on the truth that he's given us, we start to seek him based on our fleshly desires. You know, kind of like the desire for that she had, that Iona had for that ice cream. We have this desire inside of our hearts for something. And yet we need to understand there's a big difference between God's truth and the desires of our flesh. So here's a really good question we can ask ourselves as we look at our hearts, as we examine ourselves and say, am I really seeking after God with my whole heart? Here's a question we can ask. If you asked God for something, think about the thing that you want the most in your life, the thing you feel like you even need the most in your life, whatever it is that is on top of your list, you know, if you were able to hand a list to God, if God came back to you and he said, I'm going to give that to you, but you're going to have to wait until you get to heaven. Here's the question that I want you to ask yourself, and I'm going to ask myself today too. Would I be okay with that answer? Would that be okay with me? And if it wouldn't be okay with you, please don't think that I'm trying to heap guilt on you or something like that. I'm not, because I'm not a perfect person. And guess what? My answer is not the right answer every day, like every moment of every day. I need grace every single day, just like anyone. But as you and I seek after God, we need to be willing to ask ourselves these questions so that we can see what it is that we're really after. So the second sign that God is about to bless you is that you are being a blessing to others. And there's a principle in God's word that I like to call the principle of generosity. And the principle of generosity is summed up really well in a verse spoken by Jesus, and it's in Luke 6:38. It says, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So the principle of generosity works, yet at the same time, it's not a formula. We need to keep in mind the fact that this is a principle in God's word, and we can't treat it like a formula. What I mean by that is we can't just take what Jesus is saying here and then try to use it to work the system. You know, like if we're coming at it from the perspective of, you know, as long as I do this, God is forced to do this for me, then it's almost like we're trying to manipulate God in a sense. And at the end of the day, we're going to wind up disappointed. And we're eventually going to think that, well, this truth from God's word must not be true, you know. But the problem was that we were coming at it with the wrong heart and from the wrong perspective. So how do we use the principle of generosity correctly? Here are two ways. The first way is that we don't give to get. Instead, we give based on what God has done for us, based on what Jesus has done for us. And the second way that we use the principle of generosity correctly is that we give with a cheerful heart. And this is found all through the New Testament, but I'm going to read one verse. It's 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. It says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Some parts of the Christian culture have swung so far away from what has been labeled the prosperity gospel, which I do believe that there is a false gospel out there called the prosperity gospel. That in a sense, what it does is it entices people in to Christianity through appealing to their desire for money or even appealing to their greed. And the real problem with that false gospel is that it's appealing to the fleshly desires I talked about earlier instead of handing people the truth. But the point I'm making is that some of us have swung so far away from that and we've put up so many shields against that that we've rejected the idea that God actually wants to bless his children, which scripture talks about a lot. As a loving father, it's actually in God's nature to want to bless his kids. I'm a father myself, and I love my three kids, but I don't love them near as much as God loves his children, because I'm not a perfect father. I'm not as good of a father as God is. But when I see one of my kids, you know, even though I'm not a perfect dad, when I see one of my kids being selfless with something, like maybe a toy or maybe a treat, like a snack or something, or chocolate, I don't know, whatever it is, when I see one of them selflessly giving it up, to share with someone who doesn't have something, I mean, my kids are young, and sometimes they blow me away with the generosity that they're able to show other people. But when I see that, it just melts my heart, and my natural response is to want to give them even more, to want to be a blessing to them because I can see what's in their heart. And I know that when God sees his children giving generously to others, not out of greed, not out of selfishness, but out of a selfless love, you know, for others based on what God has done for them, I know that melts God's heart because he's a loving father and he loves to bless his kids. You know, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So why does generosity please God so much? It's because generosity is choosing to live in faith with your money or with your resources. This is Troy Black. I pray the Lord is speaking to you through this podcast. We'll get back to the message in a second, but I want to take a minute to tell you about how you can support this ministry. I'm able to create videos, books, podcasts, and other materials because of faithful supporters who value my content and who want to help me share the gospel with as many people as possible. All I ask is that you would pray about becoming a part of the work we're doing. Learn more by going to troyblackvideos.com. I hope you're blessed as you continue listening. So the third sign that God is about to bless you is that you are choosing to live in light of the gospel. So this might be the hardest point to understand, but I'm going to try to explain it really clearly to you. And I'm going to start with Ephesians 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So Paul goes on to list several spiritual blessings after this verse and in the passage following. And I'm just going to read a few for you that I've written down. He talks about the adoption that we have into God's family. He talks about redemption and forgiveness of sins. He talks about the friendship of the Holy Spirit and even wisdom and revelation through the Holy Spirit. And what I want you to see here today is, you know, a lot of people and a lot of us, and I do the same thing, but we focus on, when we hear the blessings of God, you know, we focus on maybe like a financial blessing or a physical blessing or an emotional blessing. But the Bible actually talks a lot about how under the new covenant, which Jesus helped to establish when he came to the earth and then he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, under the new covenant, there are a whole variety of spiritual blessings that God wants to give his children. And some of the blessings I just read in this passage here are some of those spiritual blessings. And the way that we gain access to those spiritual blessings are through the gospel. It's through believing the gospel. And you might be thinking I'm talking about salvation, right? But I'm not really talking about that right now. That is the way that we begin to receive from God in the first place. But what I'm talking about is the continual belief in what Jesus has done. I'm talking about, does the gospel of Jesus Christ, does the good news, does it lift you up every single day? Is it informing everything you do? Is it informing the way you live your life? Are you continuing to put your hope fully in what Jesus has done for you? Let's look at Ephesians 1:18. It says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints?" See, Paul is expounding a little bit on what he mentioned earlier, those spiritual blessings through Christ. And he's actually talking to believers here, believe it or not. He's talking to people that have already accepted the message of the gospel, that already have a real relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And yet he's saying to them, how I wish that you would get this. You know, that I, like he's saying, I wish you understood how good the gospel really is. And I wish that you were receiving everything that God wants to give you through the gospel. So you might have this question in your mind right now. How do I know if I'm living in light of the gospel like you say? When we're living in light of the gospel, two things are going to happen. We're going to be responding to God's love in faith by prioritizing His kingdom. And what I mean by that, prioritizing His kingdom, is simply, some of the things I talked about earlier. It's seeking God with our whole hearts. It's allowing God to be the Lord of our lives, to actually inform how we live our lives. It's loving others the way that God has loved us, and in response to His love, it's sharing the gospel with others. And the second way we know we're living in light of the gospel is that as we are prioritizing God's kingdom first, we're also believing that He is going to provide everything we need, that He's going to bless us with whatever we have need of, which His word promises. Here's a question I want you to think about. Do you get stressed out about provision? I'm talking about all sorts of provision, financial provision, direction, maybe a job, maybe provision for being able to do something that God has asked you to do, whatever it might be. Do you get stressed out about provision? Is it something that you worry about? Here's the answer I want to give you right now. I'm really hoping that you'll take this advice. I'm encouraging you to go to the New Testament and read about the gospel. Study it, meditate on it, start in Ephesians, read about what Jesus says about His kingdom, what Paul says about the kingdom of God. I can stay here all day and talk to you about how good the gospel of Jesus Christ is, but my hope is that you will go begin to read about it and meditate on God's word, and that you'll find out for yourself how good it really is. And so if you're watching this video today and you're thinking, you know what? You've talked about some things in this video that I know I'm not doing, or maybe I'm not doing them to the best of my ability as good as I know I could. And maybe you're feeling convicted today. Maybe you're even feeling a little bit of guilt or shame. Just know that my heart was not to put shame on you or guilt on you. But if the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now, if you know there's something that, that you need to change, you need to understand that there is grace available for you right now, today. I want to read another verse about King Hezekiah, who I talked about earlier. And this is actually found in the chapter that comes right before the passage we read at the beginning of this video, where it's talking about Hezekiah seeking God and God blessing Hezekiah. So listen to this real fast. 2 Chronicles 39 says, "For if you return to the Lord, your brothers and your sons will find compassion before those who led them captive and will return to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate and will not turn His face away from you if you return to Him." See, before Hezekiah could see God's blessing in his life, he actually not only had to turn away from false gods in his own heart, he actually went through this whole nation. And this, what I just read, is part of a proclamation he sends out to all the people in Judah, to all of the people in the entire nation, saying, "We're going to return to God. We're turn away from all these other things. Whatever it is that's first in your life, kick that thing over, not throw it out of your house. Whatever it is, get rid of it. Push it out of your life and make room for God first. Make room for prioritizing Him first." And what's amazing about this passage is that it shows us a picture of God's character, of how gracious and how compassionate He is. We can know when we read this verse that when we turn away from other things and when we turn to Him, He is not going to turn His face away from us. He is going to be kind and gracious and compassionate. One more quick thing before I go. If you are watching this video and you are thinking, you know what? I don't know if I have that real relationship with God you were talking about. I don't know if I've ever really truly accepted the gospel. I want you to go watch another video of mine. It's called God Thinks About You. Go check it out.
You can connect with Troy Black on YouTube or Facebook. For more content from Troy Black, or to find out how you can support this ministry, visit troyblackvideos.com.